The scripture this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound, like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young ones shall see visions, and your old ones shall dream dreams." For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
My dear friends of God here at Plymouth Congregational United Church of Christ, it is Pentecost. It is that celebration when our ancient Jewish brothers and sisters made pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate the anniversary of God giving the Torah, the law, the good news of God's presence and covenant to the people of God. It's Pentecost, and God pours out God's Holy Spirit on the waiting disciples, giving the gift of prophecy, so that they might witness to the mighty acts of God through Jesus of Nazareth, who is now the risen Christ. It is a miracle of communication. Think about it. All these different and diverse people, the ones we saw here on the screen, from all over the world, hearing in their own languages of the resurrection of Jesus, the crucified one. Now, no one is supposed to come back from the dead, much less a man executed as a criminal of the state. And yet this is the story that they are all hearing. Hearing the stories, too, of Jesus' healing miracles, the stories Jesus told to uplift the poor and set the captive spirits of God's people free. Think of all those different people speaking in the languages of all the people of the world. Imagine opening your mouth and a language you've never spoken before comes out and you actually understand it. They are sharing God's life-changing and life-giving news. It's a miracle of communication. It's a miracle of building bold bridges across difference and diversity. It's a miracle of courage and transformation. Pentecost is a story of the power of God, my friends, And I am here to tell you that God's power is scary good. Power with people, not over people. This is power that we need in our own times. Pentecost is not merely a quaint remembrance from 2,000 years ago. It is not just the story of the birthday of the church. The beginnings of faith communities are rooted in this story. It is not a revered history lesson. It is the story of a miracle. The miracle of Pentecost is the story of God's mighty and compassionate power working through the followers of Jesus to transform the world. It is a story for us. For us, as we pray and as we work for the transformation of the world in our times. Now, the first part of the story is probably the most familiar to you. The disciples waiting and praying as Jesus had instructed them to. They have all gone to Jerusalem to do this, and they are remembering Jesus' last words to them. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They are gathered in Jerusalem for this Jewish festival, and a miracle happens. And the people in the crowd think they're drunk. I always loved that part of the story. Growing up as a Christian family of teetotalers, I always thought, how would they think they were drunk? Christians don't drink. They weren't Baptist. If we risk ourselves proclaiming the transforming power of God in Christ, think about it. Some people may actually brand us as crazy enough to be drunk. But no, says Peter to the crowds, we are not drunk or crazy. It's only 9 a.m. We are filled with the joyful power of God that we have known in Jesus, the Anointed One, the Christ. Let me tell you the story. And quoting the ancient prophet Joel, Peter says to us as he did to the crowd so long ago, in the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young ones shall see visions, and your old ones shall dream dreams. Peter is saying these people are prophesying. They are sharing God's startling good news. He goes on, proclaiming Jesus, the one crucified, the one anointed with power, who suffered and died, who is now risen by the power of God to bring new life and new light to the world, to show the world God's love. Join us, says Peter. Join this movement of God's love. And the people say, well, how do we do that? And Peter says, believe. Believe, trust, turn back to God, and as a sign of your willingness to follow the ways of God known to us through Jesus, be baptized. Now, I'll tell you a secret, friends. Peter did not make up baptism at that moment. He was referring to an ancient Jewish ritual, much known, that symbolized cleansing and renewal. He was inviting them back home. So those who welcomed Peter's message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And Acts tells us all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds as any had need. Did you hear that? Their belief, their trust in God, who the story of Jesus, the crucified and risen Christ, led them into community to share all things in common and to help those in need. As Christians, all social justice action begins with Jesus, with his life, his death, and his resurrection. Therefore, as progressive Christians who want to be part of God's transforming work in the world, we cannot shy away from proclaiming Jesus. Proclaiming Jesus, who loved the poor, the marginalized, the outcasts of his day. Jesus, who loved the children and healed the sick, who partied with the sinners and challenged the religious authorities with new interpretations of ancient laws and traditions. Jesus, who spoke truth to false power in his world, not with vengeance or retribution, but with the empowering, tough love and compassion of God. Jesus, who loved God so much that he willingly gave himself up to show God's love for us through his death at the hands of that false power. This is the Jesus we must claim and proclaim. Jesus is our great gift as Christians to the world. Now, our gift does not belittle or displace the gifts of God that God has given the world through our Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, or Buddhist sisters and brothers. Our gift does not dismiss the mystery of all the other gifts, of all the other sacred religious traditions. They work together. But we must not ignore our gift. Our gift of Jesus the Christ, God with us in human flesh, is the miracle of love we have to share as Christians with our very hurting world, our world full of bigotry, hatred, division, lies, greed, and violence. We are called to be open to the transformation of the Holy Spirit as those earliest disciples 2,000 years ago, so that we might proclaim Jesus in word and in deed. We are called to the miracle of communication that was and is Pentecost. Our willingness to be bold in proclamation and to prophesy in Jesus' name empowers our social justice work. To that end, I have something to share with you. It is a video that challenged me this week to be a bolder prophet in Jesus' name. This is a Pentecost
message. As church elders from around the country.
Technical difficulties. It's the spirit. It's just chomping at the bit. And this is a Pentecost message I want to share with you. A message of many voices coming from our brothers and sisters in evangelical denominations. It is sponsored by the Sojourners Ministry Network, a community of power-filled social justice action and witness. It speaks specifically to many, though they couldn't get in all and keep it a decent length, but many of the social crises of our time. It does not speak specifically of gun violence, which I know is on our hearts today. But it does speak to protecting those who are most vulnerable. And is that not at the heart of the issue of gun violence? All of those who are most vulnerable, one another who are vulnerable to each other's rage. And so I invite you to listen. You will notice that it begins with a newly famous figure, Michael Curry, who spoke so eloquently yesterday on a sermon of love, a sermon that I think rocked the walls of that little chapel there in the UK at the royal wedding. And there's one more caveat. I think all of the people you will hear speak are over 50. So to my younger brothers and sisters in Christ, I say, catch the spirit in what these elders are saying. Know that these are the old ones dreaming dreams, as Joel and Peter prophesied. Let their dreams inspire your younger visions and actions in the name of Christ as we work together for the transformation of our world. And so hear with me now this Pentecost message.
As church elders from around the country, from different denominations,
races,
and genders,
we are witnessing perilous and polarizing times.
And we believe the soul of the nation and the integrity of faith are at stake.
Our country's leaders have co-opted the name of Jesus.
So we are commending this statement and reclaiming the name of Jesus.
It's our duty as leaders of the church to speak truth in humility and love.
But when politics undermine our theology, we must examine those politics.
Therefore, we believe.
We believe.
We believe each human being is made in God's image and likeness.
And that racial bigotry is a brutal assault of the image of God.
Therefore, we reject the resurgence of white nationalism and racism on many fronts,
including the highest levels of political leadership.
And we reject any doctrines or political strategies that use race as a tool to divide us.
We believe we are one body.
In Christ, there's to be no oppression based on race, gender, identity, or class.
Therefore, we reject the misogyny, harassment, assault, and abuse of women in our churches and country.
And the silence that allows this sin to endure.
We believe how we treat the hungry, the stranger, the sick, the prisoner, is how we treat Christ himself.
Therefore, we reject the policies that would abandon the most vulnerable children of God.
We deplore the growing attacks on immigrants and refugees.
We will not accept the neglect of low-income families and children.
We believe that truth is morally central to our lives.
Jesus promises that the truth will set us free.
Therefore, we reject the lies that have invaded our political and civil life.
The normalization of lying presents a profound moral danger to the fabric of society.
We believe that Christ's way of leadership is servanthood, not domination.
Therefore, we reject any moves toward autocratic political leadership and authoritarian rule,
both of which threaten democracy and the common good.
We believe Jesus when he tells us to go into all nations and to make disciples.
Our churches are part of an international community, and we should in turn love and serve all its inhabitants rather than seek first our country's dominance over all others.
Therefore, we reject an America First philosophy as theological heresy.
We share a patriotic love for our country,
but we reject xenophobic or ethnic nationalism that places our country over others.
2,000 years ago, claiming Jesus is Lord was a dangerous and political act.
Because if Jesus was Lord, Caesar was not.
2,000 years later, we are reclaiming that name of Jesus.
Reclaiming his holy and powerful name from those who would co-opt it
and wield it to seek their own gain.
Jesus is our light in the darkness.
In moments of moral crisis like this, it is time for a fresh confession of faith.
Will you join us in reclaiming the name of Jesus?
My sisters and brothers in Christ here at Plymouth, we are called, as Peter called his fellow Jews in Jerusalem 2 centuries ago, to turn, to repent from fear and silence, to receive the freedom of God's forgiveness, and to be baptized in the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus the Christ. We are called to live and speak prophetically as we follow Jesus' ways of compassion and love, justice, and speaking truth to false power. The promise of Pentecost miracles are for us, for our children, and for all of God's people. Will we take this challenge as progressive Christians of reclaiming the name of Jesus? Amen.